You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome to the Gym Class here at KGYM, a Tuesday edition here from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac on the other side of the glass. And we welcome you, our listener, in. Love to hear from you each and every day and appreciate you tuning in to the program. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. KJ Pilcher, the Gazette, will join us one more time on a weekly basis to wrap up the State Wrestling Championships, the Boys State Wrestling Tournament that concluded on Saturday night at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines. Talk about the champs, individual and team. Maybe we'll talk a little college wrestling with KJ. We'll do that coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Big game coming up tonight for the Iowa women, the Iowa State men as well. Both on the road, Iowa at Maryland, Iowa State at Texas. We'll have the Cyclones and the Horns coming up tonight for you right here on KGYM. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Listening to us on 1600 AM, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. However you choose to listen to us today and each and every day, we do thank you. And a lot to get to on the old program here today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Usually is the case. Good afternoon to you and everyone out there, and Isaac. On the other side of the glass, two really big basketball games tonight, as you mentioned, one on the men's side, one on the women's, and looking forward to wrapping up the high school wrestling season with KJ.
Let's start with the Iowa women, as they will be in College Park to take on the Maryland Terrapins, and what a week it is. You go 2-0, you deserve the Big Ten regular season championship if you're the Hawkeyes and the number one seed in the upcoming Big Ten women's basketball tournament. You hate to do the old you'll even take 1-1 deal, but would you take 1-1 at this point if you're Iowa and let the chips fall where they may?
I think I said yesterday or the day before one of these days that I would take 1-1. But upon further review, no, you want to at least tie for the Big Ten championship. And that requires going 2-0. Starting tonight at Maryland, where Iowa has not won since Brenda Freeze has been the Maryland head coach.
That's 04.
Mm-hmm.
04, the Freeze era. they will try to turn that around coming up tonight. Iowa is a game behind Indiana in the standings. Hoosiers have won 14 in a row. You can't take it away from them. More than likely, if Iowa wants the number one seed and to avoid Iowa, Maryland are on pretty much a collision course to meet for a third time if everything goes chalk, which it rarely does, as far as the Big Ten women's basketball tournament is concerned. But if it does, Iowa and Maryland right now are a solid 2-3. 16-1 is Indiana. Iowa is 14-2. Maryland is 13-3. And then you drop to Ohio State at 12-5. So, yeah, looks like Iowa-Maryland Part 3 is coming up. Never say never, though.
It sure appears so. Iowa defeated Maryland by 14 in Iowa City not so long ago, a game in which Caitlin Clark had 42 points. I would say if she scores 42 again, Iowa's got a pretty good opportunity to get a road win. This is still a very talented Maryland team. And, first things first, I guess, before you get to Indiana, Iowa loses tonight. It takes, quite a bit of luster off Sunday?
Oh, I don't know.
It'd still be a 2-6. matchup.
It's a top 10 matchup. College game day, women's college game day will be there. I think there's a lot of luster still on it. Now, Indiana has only one game remaining, and that is Iowa. They control their own destiny. I hate that. But it's got to be used, right? You control your own destiny at this point. For Iowa to tie, they must win both tonight and then on the weekend against the Hoosiers on Sunday. Tall task. It's doable. Iowa's been playing very good basketball as of late. Maryland has won four in a row. Both teams are 22-5 coming into this game tonight in College Park. Should be a fun crowd, too.
Yeah, you would think so. And Iowa has a lot of momentum. As you mentioned, playing very, very well. But men or women, anytime you go on the road, it's a difficult proposition. And Iowa's going to have to play turnover-free, play good defense, and get the offense going. So it is very capable of doing so. We'll see if it happens.
What do you think? 319-366-1600 on the text line. 319-366-1600. That game is a BTN game tonight, by the way. 7 o'clock, they'll start up. Just past 7 with the tip-off coming up this evening. Should be fun. Should be a good one. Usually is a pretty high-scoring game when the Terps and the Hawkeyes get together. So see if that plays out again one more time tonight. I think it will.
Yeah, I think it was 96-82 in Iowa City, something like that. So you'd kind of expect more of the same.
So that is the women's side of things. On the men's side of things, and that also deals with our poll question at KGYMRadio.com. It's brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They've been serving customers since 2003. Yeah. Iowa State goes to Austin to take on the Texas Longhorns. Iowa State got the best of the Horns in Ames. Who could forget? It was not the greatest homecoming for Tyrese Hunter. He will have about 15,000 of his closest friends helping him out tonight.
Will the Cyclones pull off the road upset tonight in Austin? Yes or no? That is the poll question at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Steve Anderson and his team setting up shop by Highway 1 West in Iowa City. And I believe play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, John Walters, scheduled to appear on the Todd Bromekamp Show at 4:30 to preview that game.
Live from Austin. Great town, by the way.
It is.
Great town. Kansas and Texas with four losses at the top of the Big 12. Iowa State wants a realistic chance to win a regular season conference championship. They have to win tonight. Iowa State has six losses. Texas has four, and do the math right there. Iowa State would fall three behind the Longhorns at this point, three behind Kansas as well. But you know what? These games don't hurt you if you're Iowa State because of the fact that, as we talked about yesterday, the Big 12 right now, their average net is around 25, 26. This game hurts you or helps you more than it hurts you. Just looking at it, the world of college basketball is so topsy-turvy because last night with what happened in the Big Ten, Iowa lost a quad one win last night. Iowa's net went down last night, and all they did was practice and sit at home and maybe do a little homework last night, and their resume goes down. But not in the Big 12. Not in the Big 12, unless you maybe are facing Oklahoma or Texas Tech.
Yeah, West Virginia just waxed Oklahoma last night, and that's a team with most bracketologists have them in right now.
At 5-10 in the Big 12. We've talked about that before. We've talked about that before many times. Iowa State, they have to play good defense. Nothing new right there. Going to have to hit some shots. Going to have to hit some shots from the outside. They got to keep this game ugly. They got to keep it in the 50s. I think if Texas gets to 60, it's going to be awful tough for Iowa State to come through with a victory tonight.
Yeah, and Iowa State did not shoot it well against Kansas State and kind of squandered a a lead in Manhattan. And, you know, that's life on the road. But you're quite right about you don't lose much ground.
No.
Win or lose in this game tonight.
Iowa State is 2-7 away from Hilton Coliseum this year. And
Texas, I think, has lost once at home.
You are correct. 15-1 at whatever they're calling it. It used to be the Irwin Center. I'm not sure what they're calling it these days. It's been bought by a corporate, and they're calling it something else. But they're going to be down there tonight, and should be a fun game. That's a 7 o'clock pregame and an 8 o'clock tip-off coming up tonight. So just past 8 o'clock with the tip for that one. And good spot to listen to it is right here on KGYM, Mark, because this is one of those famous Longhorn Network games that I don't think anybody who's an Iowa State fan is going to miss, because the Cyclones seem to end up on the Longhorn Network more than anybody else.
Unless you subscribe to it, your best bet is to listen right here on KGYM.
Please do, all the time. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available. 319-366-1600. That is a phone line as well if you'd like to weigh in on the Iowa women or the Iowa State men, both with tough road games coming up this evening. The Iowa men next back in action, I should say. Easy for me to say. Coming up tomorrow night's late game in Madtown as they take on the Wisconsin Badgers tomorrow night. We'll talk more about that on the Wednesday edition and the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. 16 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. KJ Pilcher is going to join us coming up in just a little bit. We'll wrap up the State Boys Wrestling Championships and more. We'll do that coming up with KJ here in just a little bit. Did want to just throw this out, Mark, and we got a text about this yesterday at the very beginning of the program. Didn't get to it with everything that we were talking about as far as Monday and the weekend is concerned. But there is a lot of talk right now about possible rule changes as far as college football is concerned. And these changes basically due to the fact that they're looking at shortening games, number one, because the college games, as we all know, are arduous affairs. 3.5 hours, 3 hours, 40 minutes, et cetera, et cetera. And they're looking at a couple of rule changes that might not only shorten the games, but also they're looking at it as far as the safety factor is concerned. Doing some research last year, they think that if they go to one of the rules they're looking at is going to the professional rule book, after first downs, clock does not stop. The clock will continue to wind like it does in pro football. They looked at one point of having, after incomplete passes, having the clock start up, but that was, I don't like that. They didn't like it. They're looking at if you keep the clock running after a first down, you will eliminate approximately 12 to 14 plays. Now, college football has right now about 16 more plays on average than NFL games do, which I guess makes sense if you think about it. But anyway, some interesting things are being bantered about or thought about anyway as far as college football is concerned. Now, you keep the clock running after first downs, Mark. That changes a lot of things as far as your strategy is concerned in college football.
It does. I don't care how long a college game lasts.
They're fun.
I hate the TV windows because oftentimes one game is not over before the next one is supposed to start, and that could very well be the team you want to watch. I understand it goes on to different platforms at the start. There's too many replays, for one, although I think they're necessary. And the commercials last forever.
Which is the point of 4108 on the text line. They should cut back on the commercials. I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but that is not going to happen because how much are there one, two, or three Brinks trucks that are backing up to the Big Ten office outside of Chicago?
Yeah, you're right.
That's not going to happen. Thank you, 6429. Texas is playing in a new building. I did forget about that. The Irwin Center is no more. The Moody Center is where Texas plays basketball now. Irwin Center was nice, too. This place must be immaculate. It has to be. It's Texas, right? It's bigger than everything else. That's what I've been told. 319-366-1600. Maybe do something different with the commercials. Have a side-by-side. John Campbell had the greatest idea ever, and that is run commercials instead of the extra point kicks. Or put a box in a box and have a commercial going on during the extra point.
Other sports do it. NASCAR does it. Golf does it. Yeah.
Other sports do it. You're right. And I think you're going to start to see that a little bit more. I'm fine with it because it's less stoppages that way. I mean, let's be realistic. Are you going to miss a college extra point more often than not? You're going to make 99 out of 100 of them, right?
Yeah.
And that one you're going to miss is going to be a big one. I like it as far as the safety factor is concerned, but it's going to be a lot different. 86.99, the Big Ten football might be getting more commercials this year. Yes, 81.40, 12 to 14 fewer plays a game will make it harder for Brian to get to 224. Ding, ding, ding. You win today, 81.40. There you go. 78.54 says it's really simple. Take all three of you for every little thing. And only have challenge flags for a review. Keep the review only for scoring plays and possession plays. Some things ought to be reviewed. Some things should not be reviewed.
Why not eliminate kickoffs?
Well, I think it's coming.
Most of them go to the end zone anyway. And I don't know what the percentage is, but it seems very high. Very rarely do you see a kickoff return for a touchdown. You know, maybe in certain circumstances when... I don't know. See what the XFL and USFL are doing. They seem to have some pretty good ideas.
They got some funky things going on during the kickoffs, certainly. We may get back to that. We're going to get back to that, depending on how things continue on with college football and the talks about rule changes. 321, I want to throw it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're on First Avenue First Avenue Southeast. I beg your pardon. In Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Lindale Mall, which is on the northeast side. If this is not confusing you, if you're not a Cedar Rapidian for many, many years, they're also next to the Home Depot. What we got on the scoreboard?
Players on the LIV Golf Tour will be eligible to play in the Open Championships this season, the 151st Open Championship. That was kind of expected.
Yes, it was.
Spencer Lee of Iowa has been named, as we segue to K.J. Pilcher, Big Ten Wrestler of the Week for the third time this season. And they held the USFL draft today, 8 rounds, 80 players. Benny Sapp from UNI taken in round 4. Colby Reeder, linebacker from Iowa State, taken in the 10th round. Familiar faces like Minnesota quarterback Tanner Morgan and former Nebraska quarterback Adrian Martinez also taken. And in my mind, a disturbing breakthrough in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. The number one ranked team in the country, by the way. Freshman and leading scorer Brandon Miller has been charged by police for delivering a gun that led to an ex-teammate allegedly in a fatal shooting in January. No charges. What's disturbing is that head coach Nate Oates said, wrong spot, wrong time.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good what he said.
No.
We'll take a quick break, come back. We're going to talk wrestling with you for the program as KJ Pilcher joining us here in studio. So stay tuned. Look at the weather, and we do have some weather moving in tomorrow, especially if you are in the northern half of the KGYM listening area. Just be advised anywhere you are, because, in fact, the National Weather Service has just issued for most of eastern Iowa anyway, a winter weather advisory that goes from tomorrow morning until Thursday at 6 o'clock for a wintry mix of freezing rain and sleet. So would you rather have 10 to 12 inches of snow or sleet and freezing rain?
No.
Neither one? No. All right, Mark's Johnny on the spot on that one. We'll come back, talk some wrestling with you after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we are going to have clouds building in as we head through this afternoon, and it will stay chilly. Tonight, we'll keep the clouds in overhead and temperatures drop down to a low around 30. Tomorrow, we will have precipitation moving in during the late morning hours in the form of some rain and freezing rain. And that could lead to some minor ice accumulation as precipitation persists for much of the afternoon and evening and creates slick travel across the area. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Get 11% off everything at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen with Clearview Cabinetry. They feature full-access cabinet construction and soft closed drawers and doors. Explore all of the beautiful cabinets on display in our kitchen showroom. With so many styles to choose from, you'll be sure to find the one that fits your home. Get 11% off all Clearview Cabinetry from Menards. Good through February 26th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
When you buy your own health insurance, you deserve a doctor who's your biggest champion and coverage you can be confident in. And with new Wellmark health insurance plans featuring UnityPoint Health, that's what you can expect. These plans help you build a relationship with your UnityPoint Health primary care providers and network partners, starting with free preventive and virtual care, plus low copays for primary care with a doctor who always has your back. Connect with an agent to help you enroll at wellmark.com/UPH.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good, solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit MFAM.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue, Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
327 back with you. Gym class for Tuesday on KGYM. Iowa State and Texas coming up tonight for you at 7 o'clock with the pregame just past 8 with the tip-off for that one. And I agree with you. I also would like to have, well, maybe not 100-degree temperatures, please and thank you, but, you know, I take 77, 78. I'll take San Diego weather every day. Right?
There's only one way to look at this, Scott and KJ. It's one day closer to spring.
Yes.
True.
That is your glass half full
exactly
take on it.
Yeah. KJ Pilcher joining us in studio at least one more time on a weekly basis. We'll probably talk to KJ as we get closer to the national champion wrestling tournament for Division One. And his appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. And, yeah, you recovered?
Recovering.
Okay.
So it takes longer and longer each state tournament, you know.
Well, people don't know. I mean, it's an eight-ring circus.
It is, and our coverage area is very large. We have a lot of talented wrestlers in all three classes. We have over 80 schools that at least have like one or two or three, you know, guys in the field. So you're chasing after as many people. And the older I get, the harder it is to chase these kids down. But it's fun, you know, with all that, you know, chaos. There are a lot of cool moments that go along with it as well. So, you know, it's quite the chore, but boy, it's a great experience.
How did the 4-day affair go? I mean, everything was different this year with the duels and whatnot. Put a cap on, you know, how not only this traditional tournament went, but the changes in general.
Yeah, you know, I think it went pretty well. You know, that first day was really the day that kind of threw everything off, you know, because you have individuals that would come up with wins in the first round, and, you know, they still had another match left to go, and some of them might win that first one, lose the second one, and drop down. So that took a little bit of getting used to, because before it was just pretty much, you know, if you were on the front side, it was one match per day, which that regulated itself after that first day. But the thing that really, it was run very efficiently, you know. The only thing that was the biggest kind of issue was, you know, one, they condensed with more wrestlers, they kind of condensed that time in between sessions. So I know there is one situation where 2A ran long, so you had this mass of people trying to get into the 3A session, and you still had 2A going on. So you had this large line outside waiting to get in 15 minutes or 20 minutes after they were supposed to be let in already. So that was a little bit of an issue that I think they'll probably tweak. But I think the biggest difference was on the Constellation side, where with the extra bodies, you know, that gauntlet on the backside was a lot longer, where before you could win two matches and be on the podium. There were some guys that wrestled three, maybe even four matches and didn't make it. So I think that's where he saw the biggest difference. But overall, I think it was well-received. And, you know, once you kind of got past that first day, it kind of normalized.
Yeah. One thing that, and I know Mark talked about it as well on Wednesday, that he was looking forward to and heard nothing but good things, is the fact that the semifinals weren't stacked upon each other this year.
Yeah, you know, and they did kind of a little bit of a different configuration to try to highlight those.
Yep.
The dog bone layout is what they call it, with the two end mats and then the two semifinals in the center adjacent to one another. And they did some extra things by highlighting those semifinalists. You know, before, you could have guys kind of flying in and out, and you could be two or three semifinals by who you might be looking for, not realizing they'd already kind of taken the mat. Here they waited until the weight classes were done with their semifinals. Kind of more like a college NCAA type feel to it. So I really like that. That really put a bigger spotlight on those semifinals, and I think it turned out pretty well.
Well, the anticipated individuals, Ben Keeter, of course, and then the match between Arnold and Nachtaborn, they didn't disappoint, did they?
Not at all. Not at all. I tell you, you could tell just how well Arnold and Nachtaborn kind of knew each other.
Yeah.
You know, but I tell you, the 50 seconds to final minute of regulation and the sudden victory periods and tiebreaker periods, that was fun to watch. I mean, that was probably the most exciting stretch. I mean, there were moments where it looked like Gabe Arnold had Nachtaborn dead to rights, wouldn't even need sudden victory, and then Tate found a way to get out of it. Then it looked like Nachtaborn had gotten a score, somehow Arnold avoided it. And it was like that through the tiebreakers. I mean, they said they wanted to put on a show Friday night after they got after they punched their ticket into the finals, and they did that. you know, it was an exciting match, and I don't think anybody felt let down after they competed. It was what you would expect, and they delivered on it.
Then you had Keeter ending it appropriately with the bow.
Yeah. He's on the mat a long time in that final.
He was. Yeah. He was.
Yeah. It was amazing. You know, his first two matches were a total of 26 seconds. And his second round match, I think it was a 12-second pin. And it wasn't one of those things where you catch somebody off guard. It wasn't this somebody that's only been wrestling for 3 weeks and didn't know what to do and fell right to their back. It was Heinrichs from Ankeny. He just rushed right him off the whistle, underhook, jacked him up, took him down on the edge, went right to a cross face cradle, locked it up, and pinned him. And it was, it was the way, like, somebody might do to their son goofing around in the, you know, living room. He just manhandled him. And then you realize this is a kid that has podium potential, and he just annihilated him in 12 seconds. That's what's mind-boggling. And, you know, I share this on social media. We've gotten to the point where we accept that as normal. It's not normal. And the majority of what he's done isn't normal. You know, when you think about what he's done, going 111-0, 75 pins, I think it is. Joe Lewis from Dubuque Hempstead is a talented wrestler. And he made him look remedial. Like you said, he lasted a long time. You know, I can't remember if it made it to the third period or not, but he, you know, a technical fall in the finals against a person that would probably win it any other year. And we just shrug and go, yeah, okay. He won four titles at 160, 195, 220, and 220. And when you think about all the four-timers that, or not four-timers, but because Gable was only a three-timer because of rules, but those undefeated wrestlers that he joined, you know, became number seven to go unbeaten in his career, he started well above the weight classes that any of them finished at. The heaviest weight class that any of them wrestled was 138. That was Johnny Meeks in 2012 when he capped off his run. Ben Keeter started at 160. You know, a 15-year-old at 160 pounds against 18-year-olds for the most part, because if you remember correctly, his biggest competition that freshman year was Tate Nachtgaborn, you know, who was a freshman as well. And that became his... Those two became as special as everybody thought they would be when we saw them in that first final. But to be able to do that at such a high weight against more mature, physically gifted athletes, and to do it dominantly is pretty amazing.
It is.
And it was a bow well deserved.
Let's get into the team races. I'm not sure there's a great deal of surprise there, but there was... Lindmar had a really good tournament. Let's talk about 3A first.
Yeah, well, you know, Waverly Shellrock came out and kind of did what, you know, a lot of people thought they could do. You know, Ryder Black got his third championship. The Diaz brothers wrestled well.
The only bad thing was Haggerty.
Haggerty having the injury default in overtime was the one, like you said, the kind of down the down spot for them. But, you know, those top three kind of went the way you thought. Waverly Shellrock, Southeast Polk that contended. And, of course, they had a couple issues. One was a default or DQ earlier to Slade. And then Bettendorf. But Lindmar really put things together. You know, I mentioned multiple times that Lindmar and Iowa City High, if they clicked the right time, they were capable of this top five finish, you know. And Lindmar at one time was even in second place. They had a fantastic semifinal round. You know, you got great performances from obviously the Nagaborns, who Kane and Tate pinned their way into the final. Both ended up second. Then you had Braden Park and Grant Kress, three seeds knocking off two seeds in the semifinals. Those two matches from Park and Kress were huge in getting them into the top five. And they did it the way Doug Stryker really described it, was gritty, gutsy. They had hard-fought semifinals. Even they had points taken away from them one time in those matches and still found a way to win Kress in overtime. They also had a really good team effort. You know, Malik Dubow made the podium again. He ended up getting fifth. But when you look at the rest, I think all but two of their 10 qualifiers won two matches. You know, Grant Boddicker had a heck of a first day. You know, he came in as the 20 seed, beat the 13 and the number four seed. The number four seed from Johnston was like 9-0, you know, undefeated until Boddicker beat him in sudden victory. I think it was 4-2. But, you know, that was somebody that, you know, what are you going to get out of him, if anything? And he makes it to the quarterfinals. Didn't make it on the award stand, but still, those were huge points. And just kind of a an example of them getting contributions from just about anybody.
How many teams scored over 100 in 3A? Half a dozen? Or was it that many?
Five. No, Fort Dodge probably did as well. Probably six. I'd have to look. I'd have to look for sure, but yeah, you know, and some of that is because of the extra round and stuff.
Right.
But still, it was pretty impressive, and you know, Lindmar really put things together and had a really strong team performance, and City High did too. You know, you had Cale Seaton, who a month ago people were saying he's done. He had a knee injury at the Clybeane duels. He was the only one really saying, "Nope, I'll be back. I can do this. I can do it." And he did. It's pretty impressive.
It was. You know, if Lindmar just missed out on a trophy, that was kind of a bummer right there. Mm-hmm. Not so much a bummer. And we shouldn't be surprised by this because we watched it in football. But Mount Vernon getting third, getting a trophy, getting you know, finalists in there. Young Green coming back, doing what he did when he was counted out as well. West Delaware did get fourth. Mount Vernon just nudged him out there for a team trophy. And another great performance by the Mustangs.
Yeah, you know, that was, I think this was their best performance since 2004 maybe. They might go a little bit further back, tied their best finish ever. They had six place winners, which is a school record. You know, you mentioned Jace Jaspers at 126. You know, that half of the bracket got turned upside down the very first day with Mason Avila from Decorah knocking off the top seed from West Burlington Notre Dame, Dietzenbach. So it was right there for the taking, and Jace Jaspers was up to the challenge and made a run to the finals. The first freshman finalist for Mount Vernon since Greg Randall.
Oh.
So that's that tells you a lot. That was 1979 in his first of four titles for Mount Vernon. And I kind of joked with Jace after, you know, asked him, do you even know who Greg Randall is? I mean, this is like decades before you were even born. Asked him that, and he was like, "Oh, are you kidding? Yeah, we all know." So it was something that he thought was pretty special, and really it was. You know, you had the two Ryan brothers, their family, just, you know, connected to Mount Vernon's tradition. Jace and his brother Jackson both making the podium. You mentioned Young Green, who, you know, had an injury but was determined to come back and help this team do as well as, you know, as well as they could. Wanted to go out in style and help the team, you know, got another medal and help the team to, you know, one of its best finishes ever. So
66-65 on the text sign. What about Deshaun Ross from Fort Dodge? He looks special, and he's getting what college football offers now. Iowa, yeah. Purdue.
Well, he's somebody that, you know, you kind of knew this potential was there. Haggerty, Haggerty from Waverly Shell Rock, him and Ross were kind of the two favorites as the 1 and 3 seed. But the one thing to remember, too, is there's almost a parallel. We talked about Nakaborn and Keeter when they were freshmen wrestling at 160. I'm blanking on the Ames 95 pounder that he wrestled in the finals.
Stand
but
by.
Both of them are freshmen, but Ross is a special talent, and you know that was somebody that you knew the potential was there to do it, and for him to finish it off, he's impressive. It was
Mickle
from Ames, but you know he finished 44-2 this season. Nationally, he's done some good things in freestyle. So, you know, I think you're going to see a lot more out of him and even Mickle in the future. And, he's going to be somebody probably in 3 years you're going to be looking at in a similar light, not the same light, but a similar light as Keeter.
Yeah. And also a big shout out to West Delaware's heavyweight. Good story.
Kim Guther. Yeah.
Good story.
Yeah. He was a kid that didn't win a match in junior high when he was a freshman. He said, I think I won 10 matches. Then being heavyweight, he was up to like 340 pounds after football. Couldn't even wrestle as a sophomore. Then he comes back, places last year, wins a title. You know, goes and hugs his mom. He was so emotional after the semifinal win over Hupke from Independence. That was their fourth match this year. Maybe the two top heavyweights that just happened to be on the same side of the bracket. But he was so emotional, and he was so grateful and thankful. And it's really cool because, you know, you see people like that and Alexander Pierce from West, who said, I never thought I'd be here. I never won an AAU state title. I never won a USA state title. Now you're telling me I'm a high school state champion in Iowa? You're crazy. But, you know, you see the dreams come true. And the emotion from the West Delaware fans and coaches. His teammate Logan Payton, when he made the finals, came out to the mat, even though wrestlers aren't supposed to be there, and, you know, said, you know, forget it. Gave him a hug and kept saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. You know, turned around and tried to meet him in the tunnel for interviews, and here comes Mitch Payton, their assistant coach, you know, grinning from ear to ear and cheering him on. The fans are coming over the railing cheering for him, and there's this line of people down the tunnel from West Delaware, almost like a receiving line for a wedding, waiting for him to come by. You know, Will Ward's there smiling, waiting for him. I think that says a lot about just how much everybody was pulling for him, how far he's really come. And, boy, it was kind of a neat, really neat story to see play out.
About 1A, the beat goes on for Bosco. Mm-hmm. Paez finished off a terrific career for Lisbon, Smith as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what about 1A?
And Nashville Plainfield gets third.
Yeah, I got.
I feel bad
for
my Albernett friend, my Albernett folks.
And I gotta, I've really gotta eat a little bit of crow because you remember I was the one saying, yeah, I don't think Nashville has the balance. They had the Rinkin boys, but they don't have the balance to crack in the top five. And boy, they gave everybody a run for their money. But Bosco. Wilton showed their balance and their depth, but Brandon Paez is I tell you what, he probably went about being one of the best Lisbon wrestlers in the most quiet way possible. And even So it was amazing. Even after he won his third title, I think it was number seven in school history, which is saying something with Lisbon's tradition. He still is like, yeah, I'm not concerned with titles. For him, it was all about the journey. And, you know, he found a new home in Lisbon, lived out in, is from Nevada originally, lived in Vegas, found his way to Lisbon before high school, came here to wrestle. And like he said, it's home now. You know, he flashed a little heart, you know, gesture to the Lisbon crowd because he said, this is my home. And he just said, Lisbon's made him a better person in addition to a better wrestler. And, you know, I think he finished with 73 straight wins to cap his career, you know, all at 120, went first, second, first, and was really dominant in doing it. You know, he, I think he outscored his opponents 42-0 and had two pins and two technical falls. So he was super impressive and really capped a good career. Wyatt Smith as well. You know, a lot of people forget Wyatt Smith was a JV wrestler for one or two years behind Baltus, who was a state place winner for Lisbon. And look what he does once he finally gets a chance to get into the lineup as a two-time medalist, caps off his senior season undefeated. Al Burnett had a really good tournament. You know, they had one of the most impressive Saturday mornings, because I don't think people realize just how tough it is to come back Saturday morning. Yeah, you're on the award stand, but for a few of them, they'd had their dreams dashed the night before.
Neighbor,
Brody Neighbor, Carson Klausterman, two of those seniors. Gunnar Keeney was coming back through the consolations, and I think they went 8-1 total in those consolation matches Saturday. Of course, Rowdy Neighbor made it to the finals, had a great win over Missouri Valley's defending champ Eli Becerra in the semis to get to the finals. I think nerves got to him a little bit, according to Clayton Rush, in the finals, but you know, that's something he'll learn from and has that experience going forward, and we'll have another run in him. But I tell you what, they really kind of pulled themselves up from their bootstraps Saturday morning, went 8-1, and that allowed them to get a trophy.
Certainly did. What do you think, what's everything look like for next year? Anything stand out that you or the rest of your colleagues said, oh my gosh, watch out for that?
Well, you know,
that train's coming down the track.
It's not anything surprising, but Don Bosco wins and you look at their lineup and they still have a ton of underclassmen in their lineup. Yeah, they're going to lose Theory, but the majority of their guys are coming back. Al Burnett, that's going to be fun. 1A is going to be fun again next year because I think Wilton has still got a lot of guys back, but Al Burnett, you lose two big ones in Brody Neighbor and Carson Klosterman, but for the most part, a lot of their lineup stays intact.
NP's got a lot back.
You know, yeah, so you're going to have a great group there. One to kind of watch out for. I don't know. I'd have to look. I know Maximus McGaina's back for Waterloo Columbus, but I think Waterloo Columbus had three champs.
They did.
You know, I'm not sure how many of them come back, but you know, if they are able to grow their numbers a little bit, you know, they could join that group as well. You know, Mount Vernon loses some key figures, but they still have a lot of young guys back, you know, with Mikey Ryan, Chase Jaspers. I believe Jackson Jaspers is back as well. He's just a junior. Clayton Perot. You know, that's going to be a team to keep an eye on for sure. And, you know, I think those are some of the area ones to really kind of keep an eye on.
Southeast Polk and Bettendorf be loaded again.
Yeah. Especially, you know, Southeast Polk reloads like Waverly does. Bettendorf has a lot of guys coming back. You know, when you look at Jake Knight and Trevino and some of those others, they are loaded coming back as well in 3A.
Yeah, and Lindmar's got some people back too.
Oh yeah, yeah. When you lose Tate Nakaborn, you lose Braden Park, but you've got Kay Nakaborn, Malik DeBow, Grant Kress. You know, so there. Yeah, Lindmar's not going anywhere. You know, either. So.
Yeah. Now, City High does lose some. that's going to be tough.
That's the thing. But you know, you've got some. You've got a nucleus of guys back for them as well, with Kale Seaton coming back. Kendall and Kale Kurtz are back as well. I think Jake Mitchell returns. So you still have a pretty good nucleus there as well. You know, they just don't probably have as many big point scorers as you have this year, you know, especially when you graduate somebody like Gabe Arnold and Ben Keeter. Yeah, as well.
Great season of wrestling. Now you just got to concentrate on college.
Yeah,
you know,
just that.
Just that. Yeah, wrestling wise.
Yeah, you know, and that's a lot coming up here as well. You know, Cedar Rapids is going to host the NCAA Women's Championship the first weekend of March. The weekend after that, you have the NCAA Division II Championships, which you know, I think is a very underrated and gets overlooked because of the D3 presence in Iowa. And then you have the D1 championships. D2 kind of gets overlooked, but you know, Upper Iowa's had a good season, and there's a lot of talented wrestling at the D2 level that'll be at the Alliant Energy Powerhouse. You know, so I'll be there for that. And then of course you've got, you know, the NCAA's in Tulsa, where Spencer Lee will be going for his fourth. You got the Big Ten tournament, obviously, and then the Big 12, where Iowa State and UNI certainly are in contention for a Big 12 championship.
A lot of big wrestling coming up, and appreciate it. Had a lot of great comments. People love listening to you. So
really?
That's good, yeah.
See, I need to have that recorded so I can play it to my daughters. See,
people love
somebody
listening
likes to
listen
to me.
Thanks, KJ.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
My pleasure.
We'll talk with you down the road here as we get to championship season as far as wrestling is concerned. Speaking of that, Mark Ironside will join us coming up tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of the show. We'll look back at Iowa State and Texas from tonight, the Iowa women and Maryland. We'll look back on that as well coming up tonight. Girls regional finals in 4A and 5A tonight. I'll be over at Xavier on CRMLivesports.com, as you will be as well, KJ, as the Saints will take on Western Dubuque coming up tonight. That'll be at 6:45. We'll have that one for you. And also some boys basketball coming up tonight before everybody holds their breath for the whatever's coming tomorrow. I don't know. Freezing rain, sleet, snow, whatever. You aren't shoveling it, whatever it is. I know.
No. Not going to happen.
You got people for that. Oh, boy. So we will rejoin you coming up tomorrow on the program. And stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show coming your way next right here on KGYM. And again, Iowa State and Texas coming up. Pregame at 7 o'clock tonight, just past 8 o'clock with the tip-off for that one from Austin, Texas. And Iowa, Maryland will be at 7 o'clock. Hope you enjoyed it, and a big thanks to Isaac on the other side of the glass. Good job. And we will talk with you tomorrow with another edition of Gym Class starting at 3 on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody.
We're talking with Randy Smith from Lifeline Emergency Vehicles about Midwest One Bank.
Midwest One Bank has always been there to support us along the